And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today, answer your questions. In the studio of KCSD in Sioux Falls with me is John T. Meyer from Lemonly. Hello, John.
Howdy, howdy. How are you doing?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's like a beautiful Friday, a little cooler. We kind of escaped some of that humidity we've had recently.
Yeah, it was a chilly motorcycle ride up here this morning.
Oh, you took your bike?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was.
What about all the gear? Did you have all the gear?
My jaws finally kind of unclenched about Parker, I think. Because it was, I was finally warmed up enough. I got my grips on my motorcycle heated up enough that it was actually comfortable.
Heat up. That's fancy.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of fancy, we're live now on Facebook Live. If you have not seen that, you can go to our Facebook page, Public Broadcasting's Facebook page, SODAC PB on Facebook if you care to. The reason that we're all fancy like that today is we're kind of have a Pokemon Go extravaganza going on. We are going to have a lure set up at 12:15 here outside the studio, and hopefully...
Can't even believe we're uttering these words. A lure, Pokemon Go.
Pokestop. There's Pokestops and Pokemon Go.
New vernacular.
Poke of this and poke of that. So we're going to, obviously break that down for folks today. There's been a lot of naysayers on the web. Of course, you can't do anything anymore without criticism. And so there's been a lot of that. But the fact is there's a lot of really cool things that are happening because of this app. I don't think anybody really knew what augmented reality was before this app.
Certainly,
I don't know. I know I didn't.
More mainstream now. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's maybe tell everybody. So this is an app. It's a game, obviously. And
the most popular mobile game ever. It's already taken
ever.
That title. Yep.
Okay.
It downloads.
And it's also augmented reality.
Correct.
Which is completely different than virtual reality.
Yeah. So there's two things there. There's virtual reality. We think about, back in the 90s, you'd go to the mall and you could strap on that massive helmet that weighed like 20 pounds. And as you turn around, you're kind of in this virtual world.
Right.
That layers on top of, of the real world. So that's more virtual reality. That's a separate world is a virtual reality, whereas augmented reality is kind of this digital world that layers on top of our true existing world. So that's kind of what we're experiencing with Pokemon.
Right. So basically, it's a GPS-driven app.
Correct.
That
yep.
kind of steers you to find the little Pokemon, which Pokemon is short for Pocket Monster, right? From the old day?
Actually, I don't remember. That's true?
Yeah, I think
I
so. Yeah.
That.
So
that
the old
right.
game was called yeah. Pocket
Monster. Yes,
yeah.
That is
Joel?
True. Yeah, that is true. Yes. Pocket Monster.
And so the GPS steers you to find these little guys, and then the augmented reality kicks in.
Correct.
Because yep. you see your surroundings with your camera of your phone, and then the little monster's there.
Correct, yep. And so the map is actually your map. It's your neighborhood, the street that you drive on, the neighborhood that you walk around. And as you walk around, then, your phone will vibrate, and out pops a Pokemon that you can try to catch.
Right.
Got to catch them all.
Yeah, most people do. and that's the other thing about this app. It's so popular. It's kind of the hunter-gatherer thing, isn't it? Isn't it kind of hardwired into us to go catch things?
Yeah, I suppose so. Some of my employees are all in on it, where I guess if you go down to Phillips Avenue or Falls Park here in Sioux Falls in the evening, you'll just see literally like... I don't know if it's hundreds, but dozens of people walking around. There's a certain kind of look you can see when someone's playing Pokemon. It's not like I'm looking at my phone and I'm texting. It's like I'm looking at my phone and I'm kind of aimlessly walking, and occasionally I just stop and then I start walking again and looking up and looking down. There's definitely a look to a Pokemon player.
Yes, and that's maybe one of the odd things about this is people sort of lose some of their senses.
Sure.
For one thing, it kind of people let their guard down a little bit, and maybe they're too friendly with other game players. They should have a little bit more stranger danger than they have.
Sure.
Because there's a sense of companionness or whatever if you're playing a game next to somebody.
Well, I think the most fascinating thing of the game thus far has been just the speed in which we've seen the explosiveness and the growth. Right. So it came out on Wednesday of last week. So we're now. This is day 10 of Pokemon Go, I think.
In the U.S. Yeah.
Is it other places? I thought it's not even out. It's.
I think Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S., and then people have been sideloading Pokemon
in
Go.
Canada.
Yeah, in Canada and in Europe, they can go to a third-party site, and with the Android SDK, you can actually sideload without going through the Play Store.
Sure, sure.
So people, yeah, are getting around it.
But relatively very, very new. I saw a chart that if you think of some of the viral games that we've seen in the last few years, so something like Angry Birds or League of Legends or Draw Something, like all these apps that typically have what they call like hockey stick growth, right? Up and to the right, this pretty steep decline or incline. They look like little anthills next to the Pokemon chart. I mean, the Pokemon chart is literally like a tower of the line that goes straight up. I mean, the adoption and the rate of downloads and people using this is just absurd. And so now back to your question. Yeah, the internet is already full of stories on both ends. There's people who struggle with some mental health and depression issues who are saying this is the best thing ever. It gets me out of the house. I went on a 10-mile walk to go find Pokemon. And you've also heard of, you know, young boy kind of aimlessly wanders into a bad neighborhood and gets stabbed in kind of a sketchy neighborhood because he's playing Pokemon and didn't realize where he had walked into.
Right.
So it's pretty polarizing on both sides of the issue, I think.
I was downtown Vermilion last night and saw large groups of people. I would say large for Vermilion, you know, 5, 6,
sure.
7 people. Well, family size,
yeah.
Groups of people wandering around catching Pokemon. And so on a beautiful summer night, it gets people outdoors,
yeah,
walking, socializing with each other. It does happen to have a piece of technology attached to it.
Sure,
but
which everything in our world today does.
But there's certainly one of the pros is the social ability to get out and do that. And then the cons, of course, personal injury. We've heard lots of sunburn stories and tired feet and things like
people
that.
I've heard someone got hit by a car.
Broke his collarbone. I mean, there are going to be things like that happen. People are not using what I would consider to be common sense in going places they shouldn't go.
Sure.
Trespassing is still trespassing, even though there's a augmented reality creature, you know, over there. It's probably not very respectful.
Who owns the rights to my Pokemon on my yard? That's the question.
Yeah, but, you know, people like the Holocaust Museum and Arlington National Cemetery put up signs and said, you know, let's not do that here.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I think, yes, it's getting people out of the house, but maybe they've forgotten some of those things that they, you know, climbing the fence at the prehistoric Indian village in Mitchell and, you know, and doing and to catch Pokemon is probably not a real great thing.
I agree.
However, like Black Hills State University put out a press release yesterday and said, hey, we've got a new gym and it's in our library. Our library's air conditioned. We got Einstein Brothers coffee here. Come on out, you know, catch some Pokemon, battle some players. Here's some photos of our students enjoying the game. It's a positive thing. In that aspect,
sure.
So
you know, I just heard a news story this morning that said in I think it was Ohio, Hillary Clinton's team there is going out to Pokestops and gyms and registering people to vote, which I think is a brilliant use of that. You know, like you said, 10 days later, and it's already worked its way into the political sphere. You know, I think we're right now, we're seeing something that we don't get to see very often. We're seeing a large paradigm shift in app downloads and how technology works that we only see a few times, you know, in a decade. And this is definitely one of them. And anybody that thinks otherwise is fooling themselves. This is a big moment for computers and technology just in general. So very interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, and I've seen some, I'll just characterize it as snotty reactions on Facebook. I've seen memes over the last couple of days and other things. And, you know, I think people are just knee-jerk reacting to something that's it's a game. Yes, some people don't see the point. They don't get it. They don't want to. They don't want to have anything to do with their technology and their cell phone. That's fine, but don't take it out on other people. I mean, people are having fun with this. It's a very positive thing. There are some things. We don't know what the impact on, let's say, our data plan is going to be on our cell phones. We got to kind of watch that. If you don't have an unlimited data plan.
You know, another thing that I heard, and we could probably look this up, but from what I understand, T-Mobile is either now or is going to start offering free data usage on Pokemon Go for people to switch to their plans, which
right.
I think is another brilliant move. It's amazing how fast things are moving with this phenomenon.
But yet, the thing that fascinates me the most, and this is just my opinion, and I'm going to go out and say, like, I think if you're still playing Pokemon in August, you're going to be in the minority. Like, I just really think that I've never seen something adopt and grow so fast that I feel like we're going to see the same on the other side of the curve. Like, we're going to see this fat, like, the articles and the content, and, like, yeah, it's in politics, it's in marketing. I just feel like I think it's going to be a little bit of a fad.
I think
John, yeah. I don't think you're wrong about that, about it being Pokemon. But what I do think is this has changed how apps will be developed and how they'll be implemented. And so whether Pokemon has the staying power, that I'm not so sure about. But I think we've seen a shift just now about how new games will be developed. To be upfront with everybody, there are apps that have done this for years that have done the same thing, that they're GPS-based. They might integrate with Google Maps to get you to exercise more or whatever. But what Pokemon taps into is kind of that millennial nostalgia for a card game that or a video game that people have played, and ties that into something that they already love, which is their phone. so I think we're going to see more stuff like that. But you might be right about the staying power of this game, but one thing's here to say for sure is augmented reality games on phone.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, definitely.
I think this is a great filler till school starts.
Sure.
For a lot of folks. And it's that summertime thing. Families can get out with their kids. But as fall starts to kick in and fall sports and other things, I think some of people that weren't as interested in Pokemon through the years are going to probably fall off.
Sure.
And that has to be a large number of this spike that we're seeing. But it's going to have some staying power, I think, with the core Pokemon base. We'll have to see.
And I think the greater technology implications, when we talk about augmented reality and the evolution of apps, like Joel said, I think one thing we are seeing is kind of back to some of the topics we talked about, like back a couple years ago when I had Google Glass, and I still think there's a little bit of a transition in hardware. Like some of these issues of people just looking like idiots walking around staring at their phone and aimlessly kind of getting lost or getting hit by a car. We're not ready yet for the Google Glass, like the wearable, but augmented reality will really probably be more appropriate someday on something other than our phone, whether it be glasses or, there's rumors of Snapchat, which is a social app making glasses, like hardware, like they want to get into the hardware game, and Google's experimenting with that. So I do think Joel's right that the we'll look back at Pokemon Go as maybe a milestone, which started to shift the way augmented reality and some of the tech we use works.
Yeah, there hasn't been really a big summer at Blockbuster movie.
Sure.
There hasn't been some really good distractions. I think maybe augmented reality is in some ways better than the reality that's going on right now for a lot of folks.
Sure.
There's a lot of bad stuff in the news. And this is an opportunity to step away, have a little fun, get a little exercise. I think it's a good thing.
Well, that's both the praise and the criticism of virtual reality. So augmented reality, you're still kind of living in, you're shifting the world you currently live in. In virtual reality, you're escaping the world you live in. And there's a lot of thoughts of, as virtual reality becomes more and more evolves and heavily adopted in things like Oculus, which Facebook acquired, are people going to want to live in the real world because they might enjoy the virtual world better? It's an interesting topic.
Well, let's get on with that topic after this quick break, because there are work implications for augmented reality. There are other things that this could be used for. And that's some really important things. But we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll update you on the Pokestop here at USF, and then get on with the rest of the show with your questions, calls, emails right after this. And welcome back to, I don't want to call it Poker Radio, Tech Radio, featuring the computer guys. We're live from the campus of the University of Sioux Falls, and we happen to be sitting right on top of a Pokestop. Now, we didn't get to pick that. That was predetermined by the game makers and Pokemon, but it's here. So while we have it, and while this game is hot, we've set up a lure, and lures attract other Pokemon, so it's a good place to go to catch them. And so if you happen to be in the area of course, the campus here of USF, you'll probably get a note on your phone and be able to do that. So please take advantage of that and meet our marketing folks from SDPB. Say hi. Tell us what you love about public broadcasting in South Dakota and generally enjoy a wonderful day out there, I guess.
One thing I keep thinking of, you know, remember those shows that like VH1 used to do about like remember the 80s or like remember the 90s, yes. You know, and they go back to like 1992 and this is the music we listened to and this is the crazy clothes we wore. And then I just like already can see this, like, right, Pokemon Go 2016, like in 2026 when they're like remember the teens, and we're like, and they'll show footage of all these people walking around with their heads in their phones and playing Pokemon Go, and we'll look back and laugh. And I mean, it's just such a phenomenon. I think it's hilarious.
I do too. I saw a meme. It was like, 2016 and Blink 182 is in the top of the charts. Pokemon's in the news, and Ghostbusters movie coming out. And it's
sure.
Like 2006, Blink 182's Ghostbuster movie comes out. Pokemon's out and thing. Yeah. It's we're 10 years later, but it's a flashback moment. Absolutely. In a number of different ways. On the security side of things, I wanted to talk about some actual real world stuff here, and I wanted to get Jeff involved. When we originally installed this app, you basically turned the keys of your Google account to the game maker and Nintendo, and there were some concerns there. Jeff, have those been taken care of?
Yeah. Well, one thing to remember, is this game actually wasn't developed by Nintendo. It was actually, they are the licensee. It was actually developed by Google inside themselves. And then last year when Google changed to Alphabet, they spun this company off. This company has actually done other games like this in the past. But they've been working on this for quite some time. And like I said, it originally started totally in-house in Google. And then was spun out last year in Alphabet. So the excuse they made was, well, you know, we were Google. Yes, you gave us access to everything, but we weren't really using it. We just set up that way because that's how Google apps work, right? So they did go in and do an update and change it so that it only accesses your location instead of being able to access all of your Google information. But that's kind of, you know, a little bit of the history behind it. I was never too worried because it grew out of Google itself. This is a Google-developed program, and it's just kind of an oversight problem that Google apps themselves, any Google app you do, gets full permission. So, and I think that's what just happened, but they fixed it.
Right. So right now it's your email address, your GPS location, and then access to your camera, because that's how the augmented reality stuff works. So those three things.
And the email address is your Google account. User ID. So they kind of have to know that because you're going to type it in anyway. Because what this really uses is a Google account to store and actually and store all the data. So when you're playing the game and stuff, you're actually using Google's back end, Google Maps and all that stuff for all that stuff. So that's why the app needs access to your camera and access to a Google account.
And Jeff, is that... I know originally it was like read and write access, which always makes people concerned because then not only do they know your data, but they could technically, you know, you like do something. But is it just like read access now?
It's read to some, write to others, because like I said, it's all, you know, all stored up in the background and in the Google account. So if you would change devices, stuff like that, just like any Google app.
Gotcha.
And that is one of the things most people don't realize, because they don't realize how many Google apps they're in. But Google apps tend to get full permissions to all Google information. You try to you trust them a little bit more because it's Google, right? And I think that's where this kind of got sidelined, is it started off as Google, and now technically it's a different company under the Alphabet Google / umbrella. So most people don't even look twice at their Google apps, what they have access to, because they have access to everything Google has about you. So.
And so I think that's an interesting, you know, the like, so the company that built it is called Niantic, I think, as you open the game and it loads super slow because everybody's playing it and the servers are overloaded. So a Google property, but then I don't know how the deal, you know, obviously you have two companies, Google and then Nintendo has all the licensing and owns these Pokemon characters, because when we get into the economics of the game, we've seen Nintendo stock already within a week just start to soar. And the
More than likely, Nintendo's gaining a royalty or a percentage of all the in-app purchases.
Yeah.
Not knowing what it is. Everyone is making a ton of money on this one.
I had heard about 5 days ago, and so it's probably even more now, that the game was making $1.5 million a day.
Now, how does that do that?
So in the game, you can purchase like items, I think, and that allows you to, you know, win faster, like coins and prizes, and so then just like kind of like the game that's always advertised, the mobile game where you build your kingdom and everything like that.
It is structured very neatly in that if you first start playing, you probably won't care about the in-app purchase and you won't even see them, because they don't really become effective for you until you gain some higher level Pokemon and have trained some up and are doing more advanced stuff. So the more you play the game, the more benefit you get for actually making those purchases and buying those items.
Yep. So it gets sticky. You get more addicted, and then to keep winning, you need to buy.
Yeah, pay to win, I guess, is the more more oppressively looking way of that. But parents and other folks need to realize that there is a pay component in this game for kids that they need to address with the people on their account, I guess is what I'm saying. You can play for free. There are these refresh stations where you can go get more Pokemon balls and other items you need. And they're usually around monuments. You got to go find a monument in your town of some sort, and you can replenish your supplies. But there is definitely that pay to play, or like I said, with a more diametric look at the pay to win is definitely a part of this game as well for the people. I guess that they called them lazy, I guess, but that's not my word. But for the folks that don't want to get out and go replenish their supplies someplace else.
I already saw a hilarious video. Like, there's some elements of the game where I think you can be rewarded for the longer you walk, like the more you're out there. And so I've seen people like attaching their phone to their bike wheel and just spinning the wheel. I've seen it hanging from a ceiling fan and just the ceiling fan spinning.
And they've fixed that. So now it's GPS based. You actually have to go somewhere.
It must have been an accelerometer before.
before it was, and now they've switched that over to the GPS. So people are trying to beat it.
The internet will always try to hack something.
I saw somebody attach it to their dog or whatever, and you know, the dog goes out and runs. But it's going to be interesting. Now, on the business side of this, and on the one of the more interesting stories of this whole thing, is Jeff alluded to it. It's the company within Google, that Niantic company, and the person behind that, and that gentleman is John Hanks. And the conspiracy theorists know the name because of his roots with the Central Intelligence Agency and collecting data for them. So the tinfoil hat people of the world see this game as a giant data collection for the government thing. And of course, this is just a conspiracy theory. But what they're stringing together with very thin threads is this gentleman's former ties to that agency. And he came out with a quote, and I'm just going to read it verbatim here because see if it scares you. It scares some people. He says, "By exploiting the capabilities of smartphones and location technology, and through building a unique, massively scalable server and global location data set, we helped users all around the world have fun, socialize, and get more fit as they play and explore. So the have fun, get fit, play, and explore all sounds nice and rosy and dandy, and everybody goes, yeah!
Yeah.
But, you know, by exploiting the capabilities of smartphones and location technology kind of sounds ominous, and massively scalable servers and global location data sets, that really freaked a lot of people out,
sure.
I'm just going to say.
If you really want to feel them, remember the game before Pokemon Go that this, and this was truly from inside Google, even before it was spun out, it's been running for a couple of years now, is they came out with a spy game just like this. You didn't catch Pokemon, but there were basically nodes. You take a picture of a building, and it would become a node, and your side, either the good guy, the shadow people, or the Illuminati, would try to take over the building and take over areas of the world by shading in and linking these buildings together. It's a quite complex game, but kind of formed the basis for the geolocation and simulated reality and stuff that came on Pokemon. But that was a spy-based game, and that came out first, so...
Right, yeah, and so, like I said, it was this Hanks character and his ties to Keyhole, which was that funded techie incubator that identified stuff for the CIA and delivered information technology solutions and things like that. So there is a bunch of conspiracies swirling around this app on the data collection side of things. If you're interested in that sort of thing, then go explore those on your favorite site on the internet for a later time, but we're gonna move
I'm already waiting for the Monopoly version of this, right? So like augmented reality, and if someone drives by my house or something, like I get, you know, 50 fake dollars or whatever because they passed my property, and then I can go buy other properties. Like, just take the same concept and build that game. Like, that would be awesome.
And here's a note.
Monopoly.
That's what I said. Monopoly, yeah.
Here's a note. Someone attached their phone to the drone and flew it around to hatch an egg. So the way you hatch eggs in this is you move, right? There's movement. And so you've got to go out. And so somebody attached their phone to a drone and then flew it off to go hatch some eggs. So
more power to them.
More power to them, absolutely. Or you could just do the old-fashioned way and just walk it around, I guess, or whatever. And anyway, we're going to take a step away from Nintendo and Pokemon Go for a bit after we remind you that the Pokestop here at USF has got a lure attached to it. If you're in the area, if you're out this lunch hour collecting Pokemon in the Sioux Falls area, stop by. Say hi. We'd love to see you. And there's some... good treats and rewards for you here. But we do want to move on with the show. We have the tech experts here today. We have John T. Meyer from Lemonly is with us today. If you have any social media questions or need an infographic made, John can answer those questions for you. Joel Brovelet, our Mac expert, is here. We're going to talk about Apple's making a reality show, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And then, of course, Jeff Litterick is here from the Bureau of Information and Technology and Peer. And I imagine Jeff's got some more information on of course Windows 10. That free download will be expiring soon, and you'll soon have to pay for that, and a number of other security things coming up later in the show. First, we're going to take a break. We're going to step away for just a second, catch our breath, but we want to let you know you can join the discussion on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/techradio is where you can go to make comments on today's show. Leave us questions if you care to, and you can also email your questions to us today or your suggestions or comments. Midday@sdpb.org is that email address. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio on the 15th day of July here. Couple show reminders, I guess. We're back August 5th for another Tech Radio, so set your calendars. We would love to see you there. And then from last show, we had Joshua Warren on. He was telling us about SQL Saturday in Sioux Falls, and we should mention that again as well today. SQL Saturday is July 23rd. It's at the University Center. It is free. It is free training for SQL Server professionals and for those that want to know more about it, possibly students or other people. It's a part of the 605 SQL group that puts this on, and you know, they have some interesting sounding sessions out there that are free. Let's see. My top 10 favorite replication tricks. Getting started with extended events. There's tips and tricks for performance troubleshooting. Demystifying the story of SQL Server foreign keys. So if you're into that sort of thing,
nice.
SQL Saturday, number 539, is coming to Sioux Falls. So the 605 SQL Group is proud to host that. It's their second annual. And their attendance goal is 125 this year, and I hope they get that. SQLSaturday.com, SQLSaturday.com, if you'd like to know more information about that, and then just search for Sioux Falls. It's right there in their schedule, and it's a great thing. So just a quick reminder again, SQL Saturday, July 23rd at the University Center, they would appreciate pre-registration. That way they know. I guess how many meals to prepare or seats to put out down that way. So, Joshua, good luck with that, and be sure to let us know how that goes. John T. Meyer, Amazon had their second Prime Day. I'm assuming that doesn't have anything to do with prime rib. what was all that about?
Well, so I remember a year ago we came back on the show. That was the first time they ever had a Prime Day, which essentially is they're trying Amazon's version of trying to create another Black Friday, or I guess probably more appropriately like a Cyber Monday.
Okay.
You know, a huge retail day, not during the holiday season. Obviously, everyone waits for that Q4 where they make all their retail, where they make all their money. But so Amazon's trying to you know, create that in July, and last year was promised all these amazing discounts and all these great products, and you found, like, you know, it was like a back scratcher and like a personal fan, like just these ridiculous like products that no one needs. And so I actually don't have a whole lot to say, but I wanted to throw it out there on our topic list because I'm curious if anyone bought anything, if anyone saw any good deals. It just passed, I think it was on the 12th, so a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was this week. And you know, one comment from a friend of mine was, they managed to put a list together of all the stuff that has the worst ratings on Amazon.
So apparently the same as last year. Basically, can we sell our junk off of the shelf?
Yeah, well, and that's not a new concept, is it? It's kind of a, you know...
it's like Amazon's garage sale.
Garage sale, or yeah, the sidewalk sale for... remember those in the old days on a Saturday? The stores would open up and have big sidewalk sales?
Oh, the actual stores?
When I went and looked, there were actually quite a few kind of smart home devices that weren't low rated, with several products which I already own, that were pretty deeply discounted. There's the Echo Bee thermostat, which is a competitor to the Nest, which gets really good ratings, like $100 off. And several of the Philips Hue bulbs were in the $50 to $100 off multi-pack. So there were some good deals on actual good products. I think it just depended on what you were looking for.
Yeah, it was their second biggest day of selling actual Amazon hardware. So like for Kindle sales, and then I think they had a ridiculous price on the stick. Wasn't it like $25? I think you could get a Fire Stick.
Yeah, I did
all
see a lot of people buying
all
that.
The Amazon, yeah, all of the Amazon products, including the Echo and the Echo Dot, all of those were on not major sale, not like half off, but, you know, a pretty good discount. So, you know, that was something, about the same things they did on Black Friday, but, you know, a discount if you were interested at that time. So, you know, I don't know how successful it is. I haven't seen any numbers, but, you know, the very fact that we're talking about it now is more than we talk about a semi-annual sale at Target or something like that. So
yeah,
it must have some traction.
They said they tripled sales for third-party sellers on Amazon that day. So it must have struck a chord with some folks that got people out and shopping online at least that day. Yeah, do you think there'll be a third next year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Prime Day?
I think it's going to be an annual tradition for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll have to watch for that, and I guess if folks have a comment on that, they can leave it on our Facebook page or drop us an email, midday@sdpb.org. Joel, I wanted to talk to you before we got off the phone today. Apple made good on their threat to create a reality TV show, and this sounds silly to me, but of course, you know, a week ago, Pokemon Go sounded silly to me too, but Planet of the Apps. They've got the people that, the creators that propagate the creators, the production company that created The Biggest Loser, is developing this show for them, and what are they hoping to do with this?
You know, they announced that they were going to do something like this. I think it was around the beginning of the year, and now they're releasing some more details about it. And basically, what it is a reality show, like so many reality shows that you've already seen, where people can sign up as groups or individuals. In this case, the actors and kind of a survivor method. You know, they'll narrow it down however they narrow it down, and then they'll select the app at the end, and everybody will be amazed and whatever. And I'm sure they'll have all sorts of guests. What I really think they're trying to do here is, I think they're trying to dip their foot into content creation in the same way that Amazon has had such good luck with it, not luck, I should say, such good experience with it. And then we're seeing Hulu doing that, and a few other companies, Yahoo, tried it. So I think they're dipping their toe in, and there's really no cheaper series you can create than a reality series.
Yeah.
Because everybody signs up for free, or essentially free. So, and they're very popular. They can be anyway. So they're trying out content creation, but at the same time, because it's app developing, they're also kind of just getting free advertisement for the App Store and to get more developers to sign up. Maybe they can get some press out of it. There's really no downside for them on this case. If it's a bust and nobody watches it, then it's just like they made a commercial. Frankly, it probably won't cost much more than a commercial.
That's probably true.
So they're not creating a scripted series, which would be a big gamble. This is a very, very small gamble. Probably a pretty smart move, frankly.
Yeah, I've heard it kind of similar to almost like a Shark Tank for app creators, but it'll be some sort of reality show. And obviously, Shark Tank's become wildly popular, so... I think all these companies, whether they want to or not, are getting thrusted into industries they didn't think they would, and creating content is something Apple needs to try to figure out. And Joel's exactly right. This is their first trial.
Well, with their Apple name to it, they're going to get the top-tier venture capitalists. They're going to be interested in funding this thing, as far as if these guys or women come up with a great app, it's going to find funding.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what they're talking about here, is gathering. They were doing kind of a casting call to find 100 of the world's most talented app creators. So they're going to get all these really talented folks together. They're going to make a reality series out of it, an original series for whatever, I guess, wherever they're going to release that. I suppose Apple TV. So their Apple TV is going to get a boost out of this as well. And then we might all benefit by having a great app at the end of this thing.
Sure. And one thing we should talk about, if we're piggybacking off that story, I guess I didn't think about this topic idea, but ESPN and I guess ABC, which I guess also would be Disney again, who owns these companies, has talked about ESPN's willing to now, they've announced they're going to start to create an online bundle that people... You can start to actually unbundle kind of the TV package. So if you have cut the cord, and the one thing you miss, which has always prevented me from cutting the cord, which is live sports, ESPN is going to start to have some online options for that. Now they're not going to do the NFL and the NBA and like the big prime sports, but they're going to start to experiment with that. So I really think it's the start of the end. Because if once ESPN and live events start to have online streaming options, you're not going to have our cable packages that we're used to.
The sooner the better.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to say. because really, I had Sling TV for a long time. And the only thing we were watching was ESPN.
Sure.
You know, so we were paying...
$25.
It's a heck of a deal. It was back then, it was $20 for 20 channels. Great deal, right? Because it's kind of the cream of the crop of all the cable channels. But we found that the only thing we were watching was the live sports on ESPN.
Yep.
Did you see the announcement of Twitter this week?
Said they bought some rights to...
Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
Will be streamed via Twitter this fall. So can't wait for that as well. So like you said, the unbundling, I think the threads are starting to... untie on the stranglehold of live sports, and it can't be too fast, because there are sites out there. If you're a live sports fanatic, you probably know what I'm talking about. that you can go to on and catch soccer and other places. Yep. And people in other countries do put up live streams of everything. So it's out there. Don't make me a criminal for wanting to watch it, you know, on the web.
Exactly. I mean, I get it too. Just, like, I get why the cable companies are holding on as long as they can. They know they had a pretty sweet deal. They were rolling in the cash, and now they know that they just want to hold on as long as they can, but it's starting to break down.
Yeah. All right. Something that also I wanted to bring up is the looming government crackdown or showdown over live video streaming. We had that. The Facebook live stream going today.
Yep.
And that's causing some problems because, again, it can be used for good. And on the other hand, people can throw up a live stream with their phone, with their portable device that they couldn't do years ago. And it can reach a critical mass very quickly.
Yep.
But it can also have some ugly implications. And there was some live things of that violate Facebook's policy on video streaming. But we've seen, I haven't seen it personally, but there was a rape streamed live. And it was a friend of the person of the victim. And they were getting all kinds of positive comments as the thing was going on, and that's obviously not something that is very tasteful to think about. But how do you prevent that from happening? How do you prevent something in the middle of a big tragedy, a shooting or another live event or a bombing or something, from somebody going live and showing things that are not appropriate? And should they have that censored? What's this going to do to us socially?
Yeah, those are questions yet to be answered, right? I mean, I've even just seen the use case of, like, I'm not a big wrestling fan, but, like, those pay-per-view type of things. If you're in the crowd, you can turn on your phone, and now all of a sudden those, you know, HBO is hoping you're going to pay for that fight. You can just watch the live stream. And so those are two different use cases, but yeah, I think you can't stop the streaming, right? We all have our phones, so we all now have the technology in our pockets to do that. Yes.
Well, actually, you can stop the streaming. We talked about it on the last show. Apple got approved for a patent on the ability to shut down a camera at a live event. And I'm not sure the technology behind it. I didn't read all the way into it. But there are ways these companies can actually force that to happen. In certain instances. So, I don't think we're destined to always, you know, have our privacy infringed on, whether we like it or not. I think there's a lot to that. But, technology is going to evolve along with us in the way that we want it to, because we're just going to put our dollars in that direction. That's how things work. So, some of this stuff and video streaming live is, you know, with Meerkat, we started at that, 2 years old. You know, we're still in the wild west of that, so that has yet to be seen how that's all going to play out. But I don't think it's going to be the same in 5 years that it is right now.
Is there anything anybody can do about it?
Well, Joel's right that, like, you can stop it, but I think that's a decision that a Facebook or a Twitter or an Apple or a Google can make,
or
not
YouTube,
not a Minneapolis police department or the people in the moment. You and me, we can't stop it, but it's going to be a larger decision for the companies who hold the keys.
Right. Yeah. You hate to put the tinfoil hat on again, but once you start limiting people's ability to stream live events, then there's some issues there. I don't know, free speech. I'm
sure.
Not a lawyer, but on the other hand, you've got people, and if they're a little bit mentally ill or whatever, and they fire up a live stream and commit suicide, that's not something that should probably be for the masses.
Yeah, I think there's certainly an element of public safety and just almost graphical content. There's a lot of, it's like Joel hit it right on the head. It's changing, and it's going to look different in a couple of years.
Yeah, we're going to certainly see what common senses are applied to this as we move forward, I guess.
On a happier note, we'll switch topics. We had one more on the list before we have to run out to commercial break. On any other given week, not a week when Pokemon Go launches,
yes,
you might have heard of a really cool new photo app called Prisma. Kind of feels kind of like early days Instagram, actually. You can take a photo, one of your photos you've taken on your phone, your camera, and then actually layer on top a artist, like a famous artist style, so like Van Gogh or Renoir, or like someone's different type of style, and transform your photo in almost to like an oil canvas painting. And I've been seeing a lot of people, especially kind of in Silicon Valley, like kind of tech early adopters, using this this app called Prisma. So if you're looking for a new photo app, if you're looking for something that's not called Pokemon, you can check that out.
All right. Jeff, real quick, we have a deadline looming for the upgrade to Windows 10. If you don't want to pay for it, when is that?
That is July 29th, so 2 weeks from today. If you have not upgraded or started the upgrade process, you will have to pay for any future upgrades
after that date. So you may want to get that cooking. It's something you're going to want to do, save you some money in the long run. And if your computer is going to continue to be viable for you in the future, it's going to something you're going to need to do. I've seen people getting off of Vista into Windows 7 so that they can get the free download for Windows 10. And that's an interesting process, but it can be done, folks. And you've got 2 weeks to figure it out. And we'll be back August 5th and see how that goes. We'll see if the spike continues with Pokemon Go as well. There's certainly a lot of tech, a lot of interesting stories in the background as this comes to fruition, and we will monitor those and let you know all about those coming up in 2 weeks.